22nd chapter of Luke, continue our studies. When Jesus was in the garden praying, in the Garden of Gethsemane, hopefully you've been following along, and you can get the old studies we've done online. There's some notes online too. They're pretty well up to date. They're about 3 or 4 weeks behind now, but we keep updating them. So if you're now there in Luke 22, read verse 43. And probably this is all the further we'll get this morning. It says, while he was praying there in the garden, there appeared an angel unto him, unto Jesus, from heaven, strengthening him. And the word strengthening, it's only found twice in Scripture, and it's only Luke who ever writes it. He writes it here, and he writes it in Acts 19:19. In the Acts 19:19, the meaning is to receive nourishment. And it was beyond the capability of the disciples of Christ who were there in the garden with him. It was beyond their ability to strengthen him. It was beyond their capability. So I want you to turn to Psalm 119:28. Are you hearing okay now, Mom? Okay. Psalm 119:28. That's a big psalm. It has a lot, has to do with the Hebrew alphabet. There's 8 verses per letter of the Hebrew alphabet there in Psalms. And most of those verses have to do something with the Word of God. Here's what it says in Psalm 119:28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. So it's the word of God that strengthens in us. My mom has a daily reading of scripture that she does, a book, and she lets those scriptures speak to her, strengthen her. And, you know, you don't need a book like that. Open the Bible, the Word of God, let it strengthen you. So we're going into a long discussion about strengthening today. And we're going to see how it truly is the Word of the Lord where we get our strengthening from. And so Jesus, the strengthening Jesus needed here, could only come from the encouragement of God the Father. And so in this case, God sent an angel from heaven with the words he was instructed, with the words he was to speak for the strengthening of Jesus as he entered these most trying and difficult hours he had ever faced or would ever face again, beyond our ability to fully comprehend all this. And always remember that the Word of God is Jesus, as Revelation 19:13 tells us. And he's also called in Scripture the Word of Life, the Word of Truth, the Word of the Lord, the Word of Christ, just to mention a few of the synonyms were from the Scripture that referencing that reference the strengthening Word of God. And go to Revelation 3. We're going to read a little bit about the Philadelphia full overcomers. And we'll find in Revelation 3:10 that the strengthening Word of God is so important. And so we read that the word of his patience is what makes the Philadelphia saints full overcomers, the strengthening. the Philadelphia Saints won't go into the time of tribulation, and that time was fast upon us here as we come to the end of the church age. It says in Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Didn't we talk about patience last week? Yes, we did. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And so we just read in Psalm 119:28, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Go back to Numbers 20. This will all tie in together, but you might not notice it just yet. But we're going to illustrate some facts on the strengthening word of God. And we're going to talk about some things that happened during the 40-year time frame when Moses was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. So this will probably take the majority of our time here this morning to finish this point, but follow along. And the children of Israel are in the middle of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years as we get to this portion in Numbers 20. And we start in verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation. And that congregation could have been as large as somewhere between 2 and 5 million people, plus their animals and so forth. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we would have died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And once you get to a place where you don't have no water to drink, it gets to be kind of desperate. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth him water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. What did Moses do wrong here? We already read this. Moses didn't follow the instructions the Lord gave him. In other words, he didn't follow the word of the Lord. If you don't follow the word of the Lord, there's going to be some consequences. And so the word of the Lord was found in verse 8. You got it correct, Alex, where he said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses was to speak unto the rock because the rock was representative of Christ. And go to 1 Corinthians 10. A lot of you are shaking your heads because you know this is a true statement. But in 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul explains this. And we'll read the first four verses. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 10:1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." And that's true. He said, writes that a lot. "I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, that manna from heaven, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock," capitalized, "that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Brother Hawkins had wrote a study book on Numbers, and he wrote, when we read here that he smote the rock twice, it doesn't mean necessarily that he hit it two times, but rather he smote it for the second time. The first time was a different place in Exodus 17:5. All of this is a testimony of redemption. Christ, the rock, was smitten by Moses, representative of God's broken law, once and for all at Calvary. Christ took the full impact of God's wrath, and the waters of blessing flowed freely as a result. But here, now, he writes, however, the only requirement is to speak to the rock. Do you ever speak to the rock? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession for us. So there's no reason that he should have ever struck the rock. Other than he had a temper tantrum. You can understand that. That was a frustrating group of people that he was to lead through the wilderness. That's the end of quoting from Brother Hawkins. So we just read this in Numbers 20:12. "Then the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not, you didn't follow my instructions, you didn't follow the word of the Lord, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Thus we find the word of the Lord spoken to Moses, again, "because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Okay, so what does all this have to do with what we're studying about here in Luke 22:43, where it says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Well, our point of focus right now is the strengthening word of God. And Moses, too, was given the word of God to speak unto the children of Israel before they could enter the promised land of Israel. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy, starting in Deuteronomy 1, and we're going to look at some things found there which will further enlighten our understanding here. And the subject we're talking about is strengthening. And it'll all be apparent as we continue. We read in Deuteronomy 1:37 and 38 that Moses was reviewing why he wasn't going to be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Israel, which we already just read here in Numbers 20. Deuteronomy 1:37 and 38 says, "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shall not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Moses encouraged Joshua. The word encourage here in verse 38 means to strengthen. Encourage Joshua, strengthen him. So the Lord encouraged Moses to be the one used of the Lord to strengthen Joshua, because Joshua would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Israel. Go over to Deuteronomy 3. Moses goes over the same thing again. And, you know, I know we all get it on the first shot, but sometimes we have to have things repeated to us. Deuteronomy 3:23, we'll start there. Moses says, in the book of Deuteronomy, basically is a speech, Moses' last speech to the children of Israel. And he says, starting in Deuteronomy 3:23, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Moses said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, Mount Pisgah. Pisgah means survey. And lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, encourage him, strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Turn over to Deuteronomy 4:20. Moses continues speaking, and he says in Deuteronomy 4:20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Have we read that before? Yes. And swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. So we read there in Deuteronomy 3:28 that Moses was to encourage and strengthen Joshua. And how was he to do this? How was he to strengthen Joshua? Go to Deuteronomy 31. I know this is a familiar portion of scripture to most of you, but let's read it again. These are words of encouragement and words of strengthening. Deuteronomy 31, we'll start in verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. We read those scriptures this morning. Verse 3, note this. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Note these words, verses 6 through 8. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Have you ever heard those words before? And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all the people, here's your encouraging and strengthening words. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You might have not have noticed this, but in these eight verses that we read, we find the phrase, the Lord, eight times. So we'll answer the question we just asked and probably answered already. How did Moses encourage and strengthen Joshua? Moses pointed Joshua to put his faith and trust in the Lord. He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. These were strengthening words. Go to two pages over in your Bible to Joshua 1. And since we've gone this far in reviewing the strengthening words of Joshua by Moses, who pointed Joshua to put his faith and trust in the Lord, we'll take it one step further and see how this played out in Joshua 1, starting in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. If the Lord is speaking unto Joshua, is this not the word of the Lord? Yes. So the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and it's the same word of his patience that we read about there in Revelation 3:10. It speaks to us. Joshua 1:2, Moses, the Lord says to Joshua, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Again, it was the Lord telling Joshua this. Verse 6, be strong and have a good courage, for under this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which was the word of God for him at that point in time, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. In this portion of scripture, again, who was it that strengthened Joshua? It was the Lord. The Lord spake unto Joshua in verse 1. So we just read how Moses was used of the Lord to strengthen Joshua. and how the Lord himself also spake unto Joshua, thus strengthening him to go forth and conquer the land. So what does all this have to do with our text in Luke 22:43? And you can go back there where it says, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. It was beyond the capabilities of the disciples of Christ to be used in strengthening the Lord here. I don't even recall, if I'm briefly thinking about it, that the disciples ever encouraged Jesus. he had to encourage them all the time. The strengthening Jesus needed here could only come from the encouragement of God. And this encouragement of God came in the form that there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So, without getting into a long discussion about angels, we had this in Scott's class a month or two back. So, without getting into a long discussion about angels and their purpose, their function, we'll just mention what it is. It's found in Hebrews 1:14, where Paul writes, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? That's the function of an angel. And if you recall, when we started this study in Luke 1, in verses 14 through 20, it was the angel Gabriel that gave John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, a message from God, the word of God, concerning the birth of John the Baptist. And then in Luke 1:26 through 38, the same angel Gabriel also gave Mary the message from God. It wasn't the message from Gabriel, it was the message from God. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister. And the message that he gave Mary was that she would be the mother of Jesus. So in both of these instances, we find that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to give a strengthening message as he ministered both to Zacharias and Mary. In Luke 22:43, our text, again, we find it was a ministering spirit, an angel sent from God, who appeared unto Jesus at that very trying hour in his life. And this angel was sent specifically to strengthen him, to strengthen Jesus. And how did this angel strengthen our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here? Well, we're not given the message, are we? But without a doubt, the message from the angel sent from God the Father was a ministering message of uplifting encouragement spoken to Jesus beyond our capability to further grasp or understand, simply because in the next few hours, Jesus himself took upon him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus, the sinless man of God who was made sin for us, there is no way to explain how this monumental moment in history of man, how it felt to our lovely Lord and Savior as he was just about to go through all this, as he was beginning to take upon him all that sin. We know from Philippians 2:8 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what kind of strengthening words did God the Father give this special angel to speak to Jesus at this hour? Well, perhaps these strengthening words included the thoughts of considering the joy that was set before him as he approached this historic hour. All who would ever believe Jesus Christ to be their Savior was always upon his mind, and those who will be his wife were truly the joy that was set before him. So at this most trying time of his life here on earth, God sent an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And suffice it to say that the strengthening words spoken to Christ Jesus by this angel were truly heavenly words of God. The angel's a ministering spirit. Go to Matthew 26, 36. I'll give you one more thought from Luke 22, 43. And we've given a lot of thoughts here this morning, but I think we get the idea of what it is to be strengthened by the word of the Lord. We read in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36, a different way that Matthew recorded the same events. And it says, starting in Matthew 26, 36, then come Jesus with them, his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And it is at this point where Luke writes in Luke 22, 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Luke is the only gospel writer to mention an angel. So which of these three disciples, Peter or the two sons of Zebedee, James and his brother John, told Luke about this angel? Well, by the time Luke gets to be interviewing Peter about this, we know that James, the brother of John, was dead. Study Acts 12, 1 through 4, and you'll find that. We're not specifically told in Scripture who told Luke this, but we do know from Luke 1, 1 through 4, that he got his information from eyewitnesses. So by the time Luke got to interview these eyewitnesses, only two remained alive that could have told Luke this account. We just read who they were. It'd be either Peter or John. There's many things that we've discovered in our studying about Luke and his writings that only Peter would have known or witnessed. Many things. Some of these are recorded later on in Acts. So this verse, Luke 22, 43, is one of those accounts which it appears most likely that it was Peter who witnessed an angel strengthening Jesus as he prayed in Gethsemane. I've been promising you that I would spend a few minutes, and we're going to run out of time here, discussing Peter's relationship with Luke. So we're going to run out of time here, but I'll give you a little bit of an introduction, and when the bell rings, and we'll probably get back to this next time if the Lord tarries. When did Luke's relationship with Peter begin? And as we mentioned, there's a lot of things that Luke wrote that only Peter could have told him. So when was it that Peter became comfortable to discuss personal things with a Gentile named Luke. So to understand this, we've got to remember the time frame when Luke was in Jerusalem, which was the time that he would have had the opportunity to interview those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word that Luke wrote about in Luke chapter 1, verse 2. And recall that Luke was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And when Paul finished his third missionary journey, he traveled from Macedonia into Asia. Macedonia, correlate that with Philippi, okay? Correlate that with the Thessalonica. Correlate Macedonia with Berea. There are six cities in the Bible that are noted to be Macedonian cities. It was there in Macedonia that Paul went on his third or his second missionary journey when there appeared a man from Macedonia and said, come over here and help us. Well, those of Philippi were part of this group. And when they went through Philippi, Paul in Acts 20, he picked up again Luke. So we'll get into that some more next week.